The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Welcome to Exploring the Word. Merry Christmas.
We do wish you a Merry Christmas. I don't know about everybody else, but around our house, we're getting more and more and more excited each day. And Alex, we got an exciting time here on Exploring the Word today. We have a special guest with us.
Wonderful. Well, welcome everybody to Exploring the Word, Bert and Alex. We are in the Old Testament book of Micah, and we would love for you to turn there and follow us. But Bert, this guest, this very special guest, who is it?
This is Caleb Harper, and it is my grandson. And I'm telling you what, he was with me today. So he said, "Papa, I'll be on the show with you." And so here's what he want Caleb to do. Caleb, Friday, we're going to ask questions, and people are going to call in, and they're going to answer those questions, going to try to answer it. So we wanted you to give a preview, and you ask a Christmas question, and see if Alex can answer it.
Yes, sir. My first question for today, or my only, is which country started the tradition of the Christmas tree?
Wow. Well, first of all, Caleb, I want to say this is such a privilege to have you on. And you sitting there, folks, those watching on television, he's got on the headset and the microphone, and you just look like a pro. I mean, have you been on the radio before?
This is my second time on the radio.
He's been on Exploring Missions with me, and yeah, he does a good job. That first time he is in, he and another one of my grandsons, they did the Ten Commandments. And so anyway, so today he was with me, and I thought, man, it'd be a great time for him to do that.
Amen.
And he's wearing his Mississippi State shirt, by the way. I'm just throwing that in.
We won't hold that against nobody.
But anyway, Caleb has a younger brother named John Wyatt, and he's probably listening right now.
You got a special granddaddy, don't you there, Caleb?
I sure do.
I bet y'all are pretty good buddies.
Yes, sir.
We are. We're good buddies. He hangs out with me some.
Amen. Amen. Well, you were asking about the country of origin for the Christmas tree. So I'm going to take a guess. I think I might have read this somewhere. Did it come out of Germany?
Yes, sir, it did.
Yeah. Martin Luther, who was a great Christian leader 500 years ago, if I recall, either Luther or Christians that he knew had the idea that the evergreen tree could be kind of a symbol for everlasting life. And, of course, that German carol, O Tannenbaum, O Tannenbaum, we sing it as a Christmas tree. So I got that right, Caleb?
Yes, sir.
You did right. Caleb, amen. I want to thank you, man, for being with us, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can sit there and watch and listen for a while. I appreciate you being on with us.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you, Caleb.
Do you have brothers and sisters, Caleb?
I have one brother, and that's all.
And now, are you the older or the younger?
Older.
You're the older brother. Is it fun to be the oldest?
It is.
But now, I have to tell you, you've got a lot on your shoulders. You got to be a role model, and because you're an influence on your younger siblings, I'm sure.
I am.
Yeah, and I know you do it well. God bless you, young man.
Thank you, Caleb. Thank you for being with us, man. Well, Alex, I appreciate that, and it's always a joy to have our children, our grandchildren with us, and he's out of school, and so he's with his Nana and Papaw today, so I'm proud he's here. But we need to get started on the Book of Micah, because in the second segment, we're going to play, we don't want to tell you what it is, we're going to play Alex's favorite Christmas song, and so we're looking forward to that as well. And but Micah chapter 6, I want to read verse 8, because what you have is a contrast. And so it talks about it in verse 6 and 7 especially. And then you come to verse 8, and here it says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Now, Alex, that's right out of Micah, but when you see the context in which he's saying it, it brings real, it's just like all things. If you read the scriptures by themselves, they're strong. But when you can read them in the context of their surrounding, it even amplifies it, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. And, you know, one of the principles that we've taught in our classes about establishing context, I think it's very helpful, especially in the Old Testament, to read maybe two chapters ahead and two chapters beyond and get the setting. Bert, you and I have talked about grammatical historical. And folks, you know, I've had people say to me, they'll say, you know, well, I tried to read the Bible, but I couldn't make sense of it. Well, you know, the context in the Old Testament, you've got the creation of all things. You've got the fall, the problem of sin. And God calls forth Abraham, raises up the nation of Israel. Israel, through whom is going to be the birth of the Savior that we will celebrate next week. But Israel, because Satan was trying to derail and thwart God's plan of salvation, sometimes Israel fell into sin, and then they divided, and they fell into slavery. And so I really think understanding the big, I guess we would call it the story arc, A-R-C, yeah, the big narrative that God was out of the nation of Israel bringing forth Jesus to go to the cross to pay for our sin debt. And so let me encourage you folks, if you've got a passage that seems a little bit tough to unpack, read two chapters behind, two chapters ahead, and you might get that setting, historical. Now, grammatical, historical, what is the context, and then what do the words say? And I think you'll be on a good start to figuring out any passage.
And people are always, it happened just this week, they called, what version would you recommend? Well, Alex and I have been at it a long time, so we love the King James and the New King James. But a lot of folks said, man, that's kind of the wording of especially the King James are words that doesn't have the meaning that they had then. The New Living Translation's good. The ESV is good. Yep. And they will help you as you read that. So chapter 6, verse 1 sets this chapter up. It's a neat way, and it's like a trial. Listen to it. Hear now what the Lord says. It's kind of like, all rise. Here's the judge entering the courtroom. Arise, plead your case from the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O ye mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a complaint against his people, and he will contend with Israel. Now, Alex, again, when you see this language, you see the judicial part of it. It's he is the judge. He is the witness. He's the one that is trying it. And he is the one, and he found them. Let me just say, he found them coming up short. Listen to verse 3.
Oh, yes.
My people, what have I done to you, and how have I treated you? And testify against me, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I'd redeemed you from the house of bondage. I went before you, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now. And he goes through it again. And again, you see this, look what I've done for you, and you've turned your back on it. And so this complaint is real, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and I'm glad you're reading through this. You know, verse 2, I've got the King James here, and it says, the Lord has a controversy with his people. And some translations say he will contend or bring a complaint against Israel. This translation says he will plead with Israel. And God pleads with us about being saved, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't just let us be lost without at least trying to get our attention. Oh, my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Verse 3, God says, look, if you've got a legitimate complaint about me, speak it. But Bert, in truth, as you know and I know, we have no complaint against God, no legitimate complaint.
No legitimate complaint. Alex, that is so true. And he gives some more history, and that brings us to 6, 7, and 8, and that's where I think we should spend a good bit of the rest of the time. Can I read those straight through?
Please do, yes.
Okay, verse 6, after the complaint has been aired and everything he says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? In other words, how can I make this right? What does God want? Here it is, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Alex, here you have it. Actions speak very loudly, more than sacrifice. I desire obedience. I desire you to follow me. Alex, here it is in verse 8. This is what the Lord wants from those who follow him. This is not a salvation, how you get saved. This is how you respond after salvation. You do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God. Pretty three strong statements that we should follow even today, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And Bert, I've got to ask you, did you ever see the original Indiana Jones movie?
Yes, I did.
Do you remember Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, in that movie quotes Micah 6:8?
He does. I forgot about that. Yeah.
And he was in some kind of cave where if you tripped like a booby trap, this blade would come and cut off your head. And he was thinking, you know, what can I do? And he was reciting this verse to himself, you know, what does the Lord require of you? Do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. And at the word humbly, Indiana Jones bows down humility. And the blade that would have decapitated him missed him. And in other words, he got it right. But like you said, verse 8, this is not the plan of salvation. But what it is if you are a believer, if Jesus is your Lord, or in these Old Testament times, you know, in faith, they looked to the Messiah that would come. In faith, we look back at the Messiah that did come. Same Savior, Messiah, Jesus. But they lived before the cross looking in faith. And if they had saving faith, what would their life show eventually? That they would live righteously and justly. They would love mercy and grace. And in humility, live out their life mindful of God's watch. Bert, when someone has surrendered their life to the Lord, these characteristics are going to be present, aren't they?
They're going to be a part of your life. And again, you see in that follows those that God sees them, he pleads with them. They're filled with violence, their anger, they have deceitful voices, they're relishing in sin. And notice what it says in verse 15, you shall sow but not reap, you shall tread with olives but not anoint yourselves with oil, and make sweet wine but not drink wine. In other words, you're on a unending cycle that produces little, Alex. When you're not following the Lord, when you're going your way, you're on this cycle of, I would say, producing nothingness, faithlessness. And so this is what chapter 6 is all about. But right in the middle, verse 8 tells you this is where we are and where the way we should live. Well, Alex, we're going to be back in the second segment, and we're going to have your favorite song, and Brent's going to play it, and we're going to enjoy it, and then we're going to look at it a little bit. And so stay tuned for more of Exploring the Word. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means,
would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert and Caleb Harper. It's Christmas already. We're kind of having family reunion here, but we're so glad that you're with us too, folks listening. We're in Micah chapter 6, plus just a lot of things. Now, I'm going to give the number, even though we won't get to it till the third segment, but stay with us. If you've got a Bible question, that number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you with a Bible question in the next segment, but you may want to get in the queue and call in. But Bert, before the break, we were there in Micah 6. Can I just talk about a couple of verses?
Go right ahead, and then we'll get to that song. I think that would be great for us to finish that. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, verse 8, we were talking about the fruits of a life yielded to God. And it says, the Lord's voice cries unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. The voice of God cries out even now. Maybe you're listening, folks, you're hearing, you think, I need to get my life right with Jesus, or I need to turn back to Christ. Well, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit calling you. And God, the complaint, if you will, that God is giving, the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the scant measure. In other words, people do wicked things. They have wicked things in their life. A scant measure of verse 10, that's a dishonest scale. Somebody pays for a pound, but they don't get but, you know, 12 ounces or something. God says, look, if you're going to follow me, you can't cheat people. Now,
Alex, let me say something about that real quickly. This is one of the most important things God set up for them when they came into the land, to deal honestly with one another. Yes. And also, let's look at it missionally, where they were located. And I've said this many times, I just love geography. And where you see it's located on that strip of land is, it's not exactly where three continents meet, but it is close to where three continents, and at least in their travels, connect. And so what it was, when a stranger would pass through and they would have to buy and purchase and do that, you give them an honest weight, an honest wage. What a testimony that is. Dishonesty and I would say illegal things are one of the harshest things that you could do against missions. And he was wanting them to do that, not only for one another, but also for those strangers that were Gentiles that would come through, and they would say, oh, there's something different about them. Therefore, there's something different about their God. It's missional. When you do it right, Alex, it's not just good business and not just good discipleship. It's good missional work.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that people have cheated other people. And verse 11, shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? In other words, God says, I look at your life and you cheat, you lie, you steal. I can't see the purity that should be characteristic of a saved person. God says, I don't see it in your life. So all these wicked balances and things, you're not pure. He goes on, the rich men are full of violence. The inhabitants have spoken lies. Their tongue is deceitful. Now, I'm going to say something very controversial in verse 13. God says, therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Bert, I looked up the word sick, S-I-C-K, and it means afflicted. It means physical illness. I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes unconfessed sin results in physical infirmity and sickness.
Wait, Alex, you remember what he said to the Corinthians about taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? And part of that unworthy manner was sin. They were glutton. They were, you know, mistreating one another. And what he said, and many of you are asleep, and what he is talking about, you were dead because of that. It results, sin does run its course, and it runs into death. And so this is what God is saying, you shall eat, but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. To fight against God is ridiculous, Alex.
Exactly.
It's a losing battle, isn't it?
Well, we think about if people do dishonestly, there might be legal repercussions. But I want to tell you, sin brings, obviously, spiritual consequences, psychological consequences, emotional distress, even physical distress. And, you know, I've got a sermon I preach. I know you preach a great sermon at Christmas on the cities of the Nativity. I've heard you preach that. It's a great sermon. I've got a sermon I preach on the consequences of sin. And there can be financial ruin, marriages, relationships. Folks, turn away from sin. Sin will destroy you, and God doesn't want that. God's not a bad guy. He's not trying to, you know, squelch your fun. God is trying to save you from yourself and from your sins. Verse 15, thou shalt sow but not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives but not anoint thee with oil. In other words, you might work and you're getting behind. You say, why can't I succeed? And Bert, I'm just going to say this, and I realize there illnesses come in a fallen world. There's poverty. In a world of sin, there are a ripple effect. I get it. But a lot of people I've counseled with and met, they wind up on the street. They're indigent. They're broke. Their life is a train wreck. And it started with a life of sin and the unwillingness to admit they're wrong and turn to God. And folks, Jesus is just trying to save your soul and bless your life. Why would you resist that?
Amen, Alex. And notice verse 16, he gives reminders. The statutes of Omri are kept. All the works of Ahab's house are done. And you walk in their counsels, that I may make you a desolate and your inhabitants a hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. Listen, who are you listening to? Alex, you know, in history, who do you listen to? If you don't study history and learn from it, you're bound to repeat the mistakes. And so, Micah here, do not go to their counsel. Follow God's counsel. And there is hope when that happens. Otherwise, you'll bear the reproach. What happened to them will happen to you. And it's a serious matter when that happens, isn't it?
I heard something as a little child, and I've found it to be absolutely true. The Bible, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible.
Amen. There's a little boy over here to my right. He was mouthing the words as you were saying them. Alex, Caleb has learned that word, that song too. Speaking of songs, okay. We agreed that this week was going to kind of be different and special. And we've picked out your favorite song, and we're going to play it in a moment. But I want to turn to Caleb a minute. He decided to stay with us through the second segment. Caleb, have you got a favorite Christmas song? Now, I know you probably like Frosty and all that, but a Christian song, do you have one?
I'd probably just say my favorite. It's a bit repetitive, but Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, Did You Know? Okay.
Oh, that's a great song.
It is a great song. I appreciate that, and I do too. There's folks that said, what do you mean? Mary, did you know all this? My personal opinion, she knew some, but she didn't know the totality of it. So I think it's a good song myself as well.
Can I say something, Caleb? The guy that wrote that and sang it originally is a guy named Mark Lowry. And Angie and I, my wife and I, used to be in Sunday school with his parents, Charles and Bev Lowry, Beverly Lowry. And I think Mr. and Ms. Lowry are both long since gone to heaven. But Mark Lowry, when he was just starting out, he had written that song, and he wasn't very well known. But we through his mom and dad, Charles and Bev Lowry, we got him to sing at a Christian school fundraiser in Danville, Virginia. And every time I hear that song, I think about what a privilege it was to know them and know his family. Amen. Bert, did you ever meet Mark Lowry?
I did just meet him. And my oldest son, Nathan, that's Caleb's uncle, he was a fan of Mark Lowry because he's not only a songwriter and a singer, he's a comedian. And knowing a Harper, we probably like the comedian part of it a lot, too. But anyway, hey, Alex, we got this time. Caleb, thank you for being with us today, man.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Yes.
But your favorite one, and we've asked folks, say, I wonder what Alex's favorite Christmas song is. Before we play it, Alex, why is it your favorite, brother?
Well, for one thing, I love the melody, and no doubt many people have heard O Holy Night, and goodness, it is the most beautiful melody. It was a French Christmas carol. A couple of things. When I was little, I was taking guitar lessons, and I had this little book. It's one of my most cherished possessions, a little bitty book of easy guitar Christmas songs. And it was in the key of C. And I strove to try to learn O Holy Night. And I did. And it's just really pretty. And then Angie and I have gone to Christmas concerts. And 20-something years ago, we were in Minneapolis, Minnesota at Christmas. And we saw what turned out to be the last concert of the three tenors. And Jose Carreras, Pavarotti, and Placido Domingo. And so we heard these guys sing that, and I'm telling you, it's so beautiful. But I just think it's so beautiful. But I love that line, Bert, fall on your knees.
Amen.
Oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine. Because it really, a night divine, that God came onto the stage of human history to be our Savior. And I love the idea of the Bethlehem manger, that God didn't come to a palace, though he certainly deserved a palace. But I mentioned this yesterday, that little manger, I saw this cartoon, and it said, the world's first king-size bed.
Amen.
Because Amen. In the manger was the King of Kings.
He was born king. He didn't have to become king. He was born king. Brent, are we ready to play it? Let's enjoy this, O Holy Night.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder beams a new His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is a brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease.
And out of time for that to complete it, we talked a little bit longer than we meant to, but that last line, the slave is my brother. Alex,
yeah.
God used that psalm before the Civil War in the northern tier of the states to really touch people's lives. The slave is my brother. And so God uses these songs, doesn't He?
Well, He really does. And you know what's amazing is I've read a lot of the history of that song. It was really written by a French wine merchant. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Placide Capot, C-A-P-P-E-A-U. But also, one of the other things, I've shared this many times, forgive my repetition, but that's the first piece of music ever played on radio.
That's it. Amen.
Christmas Eve. It was either like 1905 or 1908. Radio was in its infancy, but Oh Holy Night, the first song ever played over radio.
And
anywhere.
That's Alex's favorite. Tomorrow, we're going to have my favorite. It was yesterday, Silent Night for Brent's. But that phone number, if you've got a Bible question for us, is 888-589-8840. Call us right now.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ing. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies by introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love. Her baby's chance at life doubles. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. B-A-B-Y, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. preborn.com/AFR.
It's hard to imagine how something so small can make all the difference, tear down the tallest wall. But if
Amen. I hope you are ready for Christmas, that Jesus is King in your life, and you have something to give to others, not just, I would say, by words in a package or things in a package, but maybe your faith and share it with others. Well, Alex, listen, I found out that we're having a little trouble with Facebook. Brent, update us a little bit, brother.
I'm not exactly sure what's going on. Marty and I have been pulling our hair out trying to figure out what's going on, and Marty can't spare much hair. So
listen.
We
Did you break the internet?
I am the Facebook Grinch, I guess. But I don't know what's going on with it. It's hard for me to reply to comments. I think we're getting all of our DMs, but I'm not sure. So just bear with us. If you don't hear from us, something happens, you know, you're not seeing us well, just bear with us and we'll get it fixed as quick as we can.
Okay. Well, Brent, we appreciate that. And by the way, tomorrow and then Friday is going to be a special day where we turn the tables and we ask the questions and you call in. Now, they'll be all Christmas questions. We're looking forward to that. We're having a little more fun this week. Trying to do a little things and joyful. We're hopefully bringing joy to your heart and your life. And you certainly do bring it to us all year round by calling us and asking us Bible questions, praying with you, helping you. And so, Alex, we do really consider this the ministry God's laid before us this time. Amen. We have with Exploring the Word, isn't it?
I wish we could have a place and have a big Christmas party with every single Exploring the Word listener, but I don't know that we can do that this side of heaven. But hey, the number, if you've got a Bible question, it's 888-589-8840, and you want to talk to some folks, Bert?
I'm ready. Where do we go to first?
We're going to start out in Texas with Julio. Julio, thanks for calling, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, fellas, it's been a minute. Hope y'all doing all right.
Yeah. Man, how you doing, brother?
Man, I was telling you, I forgot that dude's call name or the call screener's name, but, man, he's a good guy. But I've been up and down, man. I'm more up now, but still down. Unfortunately, I'm going through divorce, and I just don't want that to be happening. Yeah, no, that's all right. You know, it's my kind of actions. But I have taken that to the Lord with my lustfulness, and I've also repented of that. He's helping me through that, and I'm getting my faith closer to Him. And, you know, through all that, I acted, and, you know, the devil tempted me, and he won in that situation. Explain that to her, and, you know, I can't belittle the fact that it happened. I don't think it was much, but to her it was. And now she's with another man, and, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, of course I'm hurt about it, and, you know, she's justified in her thing too. But I don't know. I don't want to give up, and it's just one of those things that she's ready to, you know, do away. So,
well, Julio, let me just share with you. I know some people that are going through similar things right now. I'm trying to help some individuals and, man, praying for them. Here's stay with God. Draw close to God. You want to say, I understand wanting to make things right, but you get right with God, stay close to God, and then let God lead you. And don't be distracted by someone else. Stay focused on the Lord and say, Lord, I am keeping myself pure at this point in time, waiting for you. Alex, God can do miracles, can he, even in marriages?
Yeah, Julio, it's a very mature thing that you said you admitted did some things you shouldn't have done, and I'm impressed that you would own up to it. But like Bert said, you know, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And at this point, you keep on praying, keep on having faith, but lean in tight with Jesus and believe God for a miracle. I can't promise, only God knows what the outcome is going to be. But Bert, our God resurrects dead bodies.
Hallelujah.
He can resurrect relationships too.
Amen.
Julio,
amen.
We're going to pray for you.
Let's do that right now, Alex. Would that
lead
be
us,
okay?
Would you? Yes.
I will. Father, I thank you for Julio. Father, Alex and I both could sense in his voice that desire to draw close to you. And I thank you that you're using AFR and Exploring the Word to encourage people in righteousness before marriage, during marriage, after marriage. Father, may righteousness prevail. And I pray for Julio, and I pray for his wife, that she would look at the circumstances, and she may say, I'm legitimate in what I'm doing, Father. But I pray you would just draw her closer to you. And I pray that Julio would draw close to you and walk with you and seek you first your kingdom and your righteousness. And Father, we trust you, and I know he does as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Chris in Tennessee. Chris, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, yeah, man. You read First Corinthians 7:10, buddy. You ain't in there. That happened to me 33 years ago. I lost my whole family. And they came to God, buddy. And along a way, it was I was in the land milking honey now, buddy, but you hang in there, Julio. My question today I got all upset. Luke 1:5, it shows that the birth of John Baptist, that's what I'm going at. It shows over in Luke 1:5, he said that Zacharias was a part of that Abijah, or however you pronounce it. Now, when you look in 1 Chronicles 24 over there, it tells when he was a priest and when he served his time. Now, I looked and researched all this. According to what I found, that he left the temple around mid-May. Anyway, got home around June. If you take that and 9 months later, that would be putting John the Baptist being born about Passover. And if you count back 3 months, that would take you back to the Feast of Dedication. That would probably have been when Jesus got conceived. And then in, Yom Kippur?
Atonement.
The Day of Atonement. And then right after the Day of Atonement is the Feast of Tabernacles, where John says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Well, if the evidence points more of a September or October, why do we celebrate Christmas? I'm just trying to get your thoughts out of it, too.
Do you know what, Chris? Great question. I want to mention something that I think is really the best look at every possible date that I've seen. It was by Henry Morris. Henry Morris was a scientist who became a great Christian, and he was an expert on biblical chronologies, and he wrote a little booklet on when was Jesus born. Bert, did you ever see that by Dr. Henry Morris?
I've heard of it, not seen it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we don't actually know the actual date, although there is a case to be made that it was December 25th. Now, that would put his miraculous virginal conception back to the spring. But really, it was, about 250 to 300 years after the birth of Jesus that Christmas as we know it was there in late December, as one songwriter said, in the bleak midwinter, when the days are short and there's more darkness. The light of the world came into history there in the winter, December 25th. Bert, let me just say this. I realize some people will say, oh, the Roman Empire had a festival in the winter solstice, or the Sol Invictus, the invincible sun, and it was wrong that they put Christmas at the same time as a time of Roman debauchery. Well, you know what? I'm glad that the church has redeemed. See, was Jesus born on December 25th? Maybe. There's a 1 in 365 chance of us being right. That's not horrible odds. But whether or not Jesus was born at Yom Kippur in the fall or in the spring or in December, here's my point. Look, even the melody of Amazing Grace by John Newton and William Wilberforce, that was at one time a barroom song, and that got redeemed and became Amazing Grace. So what if the Roman Empire on December 25th was doing something sinful? On any given day of the year, sinners are going to be sinful. So just as the return of Christ will restore all things, it's happening incrementally now. The very same airwaves that bring you Exploring the Word, some people are using radio for bad things. That doesn't mean we abandon radio. Anyway, I don't think anybody definitively knows the actual date of Christ's birth. Henry Morris makes a good case that it might have been December 25th. But you know what, Bert? We know Jesus came, and we know he's alive. And I hope by faith he's real in each and every heart of each and every person listening.
Hallelujah, he is. And again, Chris, when we try to do that, and you can look at different things, I've heard people do different things. I lean toward the spring. That's who I am because of Luke chapter 2 when it says the shepherds, and it doesn't say singular, plural, kept watch over their flock by night. When they did that, when they were all on board, was when those ewes were giving birth to the lambs because they need that help. And so that, and they're very vulnerable. So different people can look at it different ways, but the issue is celebration, that the incarnation, God became flesh, that he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Hallelujah, Alex.
Amen. Let's go to Texas. Barry in Texas, welcome.
Hello. Over the years, I've collected several translations of the Bible. At the moment, I'm using the ESV. But recently, I was given a NET Bible. So my first question is, what is your opinion of the NET Bible? And my second question going on from that is, I'm looking for a translation that would be appropriate for somebody who is looking for something in more understandable English. Is there anything better than the New Living Translation?
Barry, thank you for your call. Let me answer this, the second question first. I am telling you the response that I have heard from people about reading the New Living Translation has been awesome. I've read it through. Matter of fact, I'm way ahead. I'm reading the Bible all the way through using Focus on the Family Bible, reading the Bible through, and I've been using the New Living Translation, Alex, and I just want to tell you, it has been a joy, and I can recommend it highly. And Barry, I would recommend that as highly as I know of any version. I love it. If you're looking for something, I'll use the New King James to preach in and study a lot because I learned everything I memorized in the King James, but the New King James is close enough that when I quote it and read it, it's not a battle going on in my brain, Alex. What do I say? What I memorized or what I'm looking at, you know? So, but New Living Translation is good. What about that other translation he was asking about?
The NET, N-E-T stands for New English Translation, and it was, overall it's got really good marks from evangelical people. It's free, it's online, and it's used in quite a number of apps and things like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. There was a group of translators that was put together 30 years ago that began to work on this, and it's the idea was a modern English translation. And I do think part of the name of it, the NET translation, New English Translation, it coincides with the internet, you know, because it's used online a lot. What is good about it, much like the NASB, it's not paraphrastic. Like sometimes the NIV has been faulted at being a little too less literal and more what's called dynamic equivalence. See, there's two things. There's dynamic equivalence and there's formal equivalence. And the formal equivalence is really, sometimes they'll say the NASB is kind of wooden because it's like very literal. Well, the NET translation is very, very literal, which is good. Translation is a word exchange program. And Bert, earlier this week, I was sharing the gospel with an older gentleman, and he really had some problems that the Bible could be translated at all. He was like, well, how do we know what the original said? Folks, let me just say this very quickly, and now I'm going to try to get to Tim in Arkansas. And in fact, this dovetails with Tim a little bit, perhaps. But translation is an incredibly exact science where it's a word-for-word exchange. When Jesus said, you must be born again, it means you must be born again. Tim in Arkansas, very quickly, if you could get your question in, we're going to try to get you before we're out of time.
Yeah, so it's about understanding what I'm reading, because the King James is too complicated for me. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with comprehending what I'm reading when I'm reading it. And so I'm trying to figure out what I could get to be able to read.
Okay, let me do this, Tim, real quickly. If you like King James, you can get a parallel Bible. And I have two or three. You see the new King James, and then the NIV or something. And it really helps, Alex, when you have those to let you see some truth in these words. You did a good job of explaining it earlier. Take us out, brother.
Well, and also pray for wisdom. God will help you. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from your word. Folks, thanks for listening. Tim, blessings on you as you read God's word. We encourage everybody to get in the word, and we'll be back tomorrow, God willing, to continue exploring the word. Tell somebody about AFR, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.